Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Junk Baller Podcast.
Indeed.
We've been a little bit, we've taken an off-season off for the MLB season podcasting, but welcome back. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
I am doing good. It's been a while since we've gone together to do a podcast episode. A lot of life has been happening.
Yes.
Not necessarily bad things, just a lot of things happening. Yeah. So we haven't actually been able to sit down and get to talk to you guys about baseball all that much. And a lot has happened in that time, as we'll get to.
We had podcasts planned and prepped and ready, but life circumstances happened. A couple times we were both sick at different times. Work, family, friends, all that type of stuff just kind of just really got into the schedule of what we can't do it tonight. Yeah. But a lot has happened and we're glad to be back. Kevin and I want to say the last, 2 weeks, we're just like, we probably should get a podcast.
Yeah.
Get a date, get it figured out with it.
I think the turning point, it started a little bit when pitchers and catchers started last week, where I'm like, okay, now the season's really starting.
Yeah.
Football's over. Spring's come around the corner, even though it doesn't feel like spring outside.
No, it's absolutely freaking frigid.
It's really cold. It's like a freeze box out there. More than halfway through February, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
The tipping point was when I saw that Bregman signed somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, all the free agents are off the board. We got to get an episode in now.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when a lot of the other guys signed, I was like, all right, we cut some time. And then it needed to be like two or three last chips for free agents to sign. And we're like, all right, all the big pieces are pretty much signed now. Like, there's a couple of odds and ends like that are left, but nothing of major needs. There's still some trades that could happen that we're kind of waiting to see happen. But also today, and I texted you this, a lot of stuff has happened just in today's, like with people getting hurt, people out of the lineup, people resting, like possible trades. So it's just a lot going on right now. But we are back. Spring training is fully upon us. We are ready. I'm fully ready for baseball season. Anyone that asks me about like, oh, you're ready for the snow that's about to, I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want the snow anymore. I want 75 degree weather, sunny, and I want to be in a ballpark writing the scorebook, having a beer, and having a hot dog or burger. Like, that's what I want right now.
Mm.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Fantastic. I love it. It was great. It doesn't satisfy me the way that I thought it would. I need a Phillies World Series. I'll trade 10 Super Bowls for a Phillies World Series.
That makes you very unique among Philadelphia sports fans.
Yeah, well, as you have said, the Philadelphia Eagles fan base is a cult.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a little unhealthy. Yeah. The stuff that people talk about. Literally last night, I was hanging out with some friends from church, and the guy was like, yeah, like Jalen Hurts is kind of like Michael Jordan. And I was like, no,
no.
He's like, but the mentality of him. I'm like, no.
All right, let's take it down a notch.
Yeah, I was like, I know he's the Jordan brand, but all right, let's come. He won one Super Bowl. If he won four, then maybe we can talk.
Yeah.
But no, I held back a lot.
No, it's okay. I think my favorite aspect still is when after their, the division game against the Rams where they were playing in the snow.
Yeah.
They were selling snow from that game, and it sold out in an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are they going to do? Are they going to like, is it going to be like a Catholic mass where they kind of like sprinkle it over the field and bless it before each game?
Honestly, like that would be so funny. And it would be a total Philadelphia thing to do.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagle fans and Philadelphia Philly fans are drastically different. We are still passionate, but the chaos and debauchery that can happen with an Eagles and a Phillies game is drastically different.
Yeah.
Like, you'll still get some really weird characters and some really bad behavior at a Phillies game, but it's more family-friendly, as baseball is. But I'm not taking my kid to an Eagles game until he's at least a teenager, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
Well, there's a reason why Veterans Stadium had a jail and a small little courtroom in the basement because of the Philadelphia Eagles. Ironically enough, that was going to be my fun fact.
Oh, we kind of were like, you know, let's just have some. We got to have a good podcast out. But Kev, let's move on to our fun fact. And what is it?
Yeah. So originally it was going to be that, though I realized it was specifically more for Eagles than the Phillies, even though they shared the same stadium. I'm like, no, that doesn't really work. I got to go with full baseball.
Yeah.
A little while ago, I forget what episode it was. It was a couple of years ago now. We were talking about famous promotional things that we do in baseball. There's a ton of them each year, both in the minors and in the major leagues. So I was just on the skick. I'm like, I got to find another promotion to talk about. So in 2019, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp had a Florida Man night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Well, first, the name of the team is the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, which is awesome.
Yes. Not just regular mini shrimp, shrimp yes. cocktails.
Shrimp sandwich, shrimp kebabs.
Yeah.
And that's all I have. But yeah, in 2019, to honor the meme and the legend, they had a Florida Man night. To that end, they attempted to break a weird Florida misdemeanor law every inning of the game.
What?
Yes.
Tell me it. Tell me them.
You know, the weird thing is, like, I tried to figure out what they were, and I looked everywhere on the internet, and I couldn't find out what they did that night.
That's weird.
They had it.
Yeah.
It wasn't canceled. But, like, I tried to look up videos and, like, you know, any scorecards. It was really difficult to find. But I did get the general idea of what they did.
Maybe it's a government conspiracy.
Maybe. Birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real.
It was sponsored by a local law office who officiated the event, so I guess, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're technically doing criminal things, even if it's stupid.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And the event included an appearance by Lane Pittman, who is a local Florida man who went viral in 2016 for entering Hurricane Matthew while playing Slayer and carrying a large American flag.
I think I might have seen that. I think we've seen that GIF around. Like, yeah, I think I have.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I'm like, yeah, I don't think I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I highly encourage anyone to delve deep into the world of minor league baseball promotional events, because some of them are really out there.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in Florida for a year. I didn't experience like full Florida, like to what like people say Florida is, because I lived in Orlando and it was very touristy. So I didn't feel like I was in like the boondocks of Florida or whatever it is, or like the Hicks of Florida.
Oh, of Florida, if you go outside of like Tampa or Orlando, it's like every other southern state.
Yeah. Like you just got to go a little bit further north, in my opinion. Like further south, like you got the beaches and everything. But like going to, I mean, I went to Florida, the University of Florida, for a tournament, and it definitely felt a little bit more. I was like, yeah, it's a little bit more not. Don't think this is Florida. Like when I think Florida, this is not what I think of. It's Gainesville. That's what it's called. All right. Dang. Look at that. Florida Man night.
Have you come across any Florida men in your time in Florida?
No, because everyone I worked with was from somewhere else. That's the thing about Florida. No one is born there. Everyone is just a transplant there. Like I don't know if I've met someone who was born in Florida.
So does Florida Man actually exist?
Wow. That's a good point.
Maybe it's a promotional gag.
Yeah.
For the state of Florida.
There is a beer called Florida Man, and it's actually pretty good.
I can imagine what that tastes like.
It tastes good. It's but yeah, it's... I'm trying to think if I've ever met someone who's a Florida Man. I met some characters down in Florida, I'll say that.
Well, I think we have at least one Florida Man in our lives, even if they're not from Florida. Like, they kind of embody the spirit of Florida.
Who's the first person you think of when you think of Florida Man?
I'm not commenting on the podcast.
You know, they are listening. We want a public record for it.
Yeah.
The only person I could think of was possibly Matt Pratz.
In a way.
He's a friend of ours from college. That's the only one I can think of that might be, like, Florida Man. But he's just kind of a goofy guy. Yeah. I don't know if he does it. He jumped in that pond, but a little bit.
A lot of people jumped in that pond.
I didn't.
I never jumped in that pond.
No.
I would just... What we're talking about is we created a disc golf course on our campus when we were in college.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an uncommon thing for us to throw our discs into this really algae-filled pond.
Pretty gross.
Very gross. And a lot of the times if it went in there, I'd just be like, All right.
Yeah, discus
my,
gone.
My day's over. Yep. But some people were bold enough to go into that pond.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
Nah, I'd probably get diseases and whatever. I don't know. Water, I don't...
Come out with 12 toes.
Yeah, No. We don't need any of that. And, you know, Matt Pratz did some other stuff, but we don't need to talk about that. He's a great guy. I miss that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, if you're listening, we miss you. I know he got married recently, so congrats. Yeah. This is my way of saying congrats to him. all right. What a way to start the podcast. Are we rusty?
Quite a bit.
Probably a little bit rusty. You know, give us a little bit of time.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, give us a little bit of time. But I mean, we just had an off season.
Yes, we did.
We had an off season. But Major League Baseball just finished up their off season.
They did.
And spring training is upon us. Pitchers and catchers reported last week. It is now full on spring training. Everyone's reporting. And baseball is in full swing.
Thank God.
Yes. We can get into like predictions and everything in a later podcast, but right now we're going to recap pretty much all that we can for you that has happened this offseason from the last out in the World Series to now, what has happened. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that we talked about last time was Juan Soto signed because that was the biggest signing of them all. Still think that's an overrated contract and completely ridiculous for $765 million that could reach $800 million.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, and they were promoting him on MLB Network and Twitter and all that, and they were like, "Yeah, it's real Mets fans and everything." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a real person. That contract's gonna be really bad in a couple years."
You think he could opt out after 2029?
Will he?
Do you think he could?
Oh, yeah, absolutely he could. Yeah. But the thing is, the Mets can buy into that. Like, if he opts out, the Mets can be like, yeah, no, we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
Which I think if Cohen is still probably the owner, he's going to do that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Today, the reason why I'm talking about the Soto thing, today, Frankie Montas, who was a free agent signing by the Mets, is... going to start the season on the IL and is not pitching anytime soon.
Yep.
I don't even know what the injury was.
He has a high grade lat strain.
Oof. Yeah. No, that's not fun.
He's going to be out for at least 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. So I just saw that and I'm like, yep, classic Mets. Like everything. Like, oh, we're great. We're going to be the team to beat with it. And Alvarez, the catcher for the Mets, is saying that they have a better lineup than the Dodgers. I'm like, dude, you're just setting yourself up for failure right now. This is a bad look. I mean, I don't like that guy to begin with because he's a catcher. If you watch the Mets play, he's the catcher behind, and he will literally frame the pitch. If it's literally low, he'll bring it up above the belt to say, hey, that was a strike for framing. It's like Little League stuff.
Yeah.
He's pathetic. Hey, I'm a little harsh on him right now.
Yankees legend Frankie Montas, man.
Yeah. So that obviously Soto was the biggest free agent signing. The other free agent signing that I thought was probably next was probably Bregman in terms of like scale, because he got 3 years, $120 million with an opt out after each year.
Yes.
So I know the contract details. He's getting paid $40 million this year in terms of salary, but $20 million of that is deferred. So I don't know if the next 2 years, if he opts in to them, if it's deferred, but that helps out the Red Sox with the luxury tax this year for them. So he's only getting paid $20 million.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me is not necessarily the contract for Bregman right now. It's what they're going to do at third base. Because as you all know, or may or may not be aware, they have another third baseman there, Devers, who just a few years ago they signed to a...
320, I think.
A really big contract. Yeah. And Devers has no interest in moving to a DH position.
Yeah, that's what I was just glad you brought this up, because literally today they were talking about, yeah, Devers like, yeah, no, I'm not moving. Like, yeah. I'm third base is my position, which I can understand, because if he's trying to get in terms of like Hall of Fame type status, or like, I don't know if he has any opt-outs in his contract, but the war accumulation for positions matters. Like, you can accumulate more war at positions. I think third base has a higher accumulation per war than first base and versus DH. So you have that, where players also, you know, he also is a third baseman. That's what he came up to be. If he wants to do that, in the face of your franchise, you don't really tell them, hey, we signed this guy who could leave next year.
No.
We want you to move to first base.
Well, first base would be better than DH because at least he's playing the field.
Yeah.
Bregman's better at third base fielding-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're going to move him to second base, probably. Because you got Trevor Story at short.
Yeah.
And then you have Tristan Casas at first. So, probably second. Hmm. I mean, you could have Bregman DH or Trevor Story DH.
I don't think they signed Bregman to DH.
No, they didn't. But it's kind of one of those things where you sign the guy. All right, we got to figure out where you play because the position that you normally play, okay, you can't play that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money to sign a guy that you're just like, yeah, no, we're going to put him in a different position. Maybe he can go play left field like Altuve's doing now.
Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, freaking the biggest signing that the Astros made were... Actually, I want to get your opinion on the Bregman signing as a Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear your opinion on what the Red Sox did this year in terms of... Because I don't think... In terms of like moves, I think the Red Sox made the most moves other than the Yankees in the AL East. The other three teams, I don't think made significant enough moves to wander a warrant. That's the right word. Warrant a conversation. So, what are your thoughts on the Red Sox with Bregman signing?
I think it's a good move. I mean, they're definitely more active than they've been in years past.
Yeah,
I think. Them being in this middle position and not being at the top competing with the Yankees is, you know, rubbing them the wrong way. So not only are they signing, you know, Bregman, who's this, you know, big time third baseman, but he's also signing an Astro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you have like a double enemy sort of thing. Now you have an Astro, a guy who's played for Astros and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You know, they signed Chapman as well.
That's what I was going to bring up. I'm like, yeah, they have a former Yankee now.
They're trying to bring on these former Yankees
slowly
a bit. But I think they're just kind of making the bits and pieces to make it work right now. Do I still think that they're going to do much this year? I think they'll be better than last year.
Yeah.
But, Pivetta's not there anymore, so he's gone.
He got a big... That contract is weird. Did you see that? Well, we can talk about that in a bit. But I think that just as of right now, I see the Red Sox as a team that is kind of on that verge where if they do well, they'll probably be buyers at the trade deadline and probably will buy high because we're going to try to maximize what could happen if Cease isn't traded. Like, I could see Cease getting traded at the deadline to the Red Sox for that rotation. So you have Crochet, Cease, who's the Red Sox number one guy before, what's his name? He's Hispanic, I believe. He's Dominican. But I could see the Red Sox being buyers if they do well. Because, I mean, Durand leading off, Trevor Story's healthy, even though Trevor Story's a little bit older now. But they could be – that division is so tough.
Yeah.
Like, all five teams I could see finish above 500 if things go right. Like, all five. Like, mm-hmm. There's no team where you're like, yeah, they're probably going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. That's
no.
Normally every division has one of those guys, one of those teams that you're like, yeah, they probably could finish in 90 losses.
Yeah.
But all these teams I could see being above 500 at the very least. Mm-hmm. Like probably the Blue Jays in Tampa maybe be the lowest in my opinion right now.
Maybe Tampa depending on how the signings with Toronto.
Yeah. Went. And how the ballpark plays too.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yes. Did we talk about that the last
episode? Yeah, we did. Because remember we talked about how the stadium, the agreements, like they're like, yeah, this is going to be like $30, $50 million for them to do it or something like that. And they're like, all right, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to go to a rival spring training stadium. Like, just come on.
That can host a postseason game.
Yeah. But all right, so we talked about Pivetta. Let's go to the Padres with what they did. They they signed Pivetta. Did they trade someone? I feel like they traded someone. No, they didn't trade anyone. There's been a lot of rumors with them trading people. Yeah. That's what it is. Dylan Cease is possibly going to get traded. Michael King even they re-signed him for the arbitration deal or something like that instead of trading him. But I don't know exactly what the Padres like. They're they're like, yeah, let's get rid of Soto, and then let's sign everyone, and then get rid of Snell, sign everyone. And then I just don't know what they're doing in terms of, like, I know they said they have to get rid of some money, but then they're like, yeah, let's do this. But I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a common theme on our podcast. We don't know exactly what the Padres are doing,
yeah,
what their end game is. Because the one year, like you said, it's like, well, we're going to sign all these free agents. Oh, and then next year they'll just see you.
Yeah.
And then we'll sign some more guys the next year. It's yeah. kind of like, it's almost like they're new to it, so they're kind of like testing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
How long has the general manager been there for the Padres?
That I don't know. It's been a couple years, yeah. I think. Because even Manny Machado came out, like, kind of said some harsh words. He's like, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
or like, we didn't do anything. And that's, I mean, that guy is, I mean, is Tatis the face of that team? Like, I don't view Machado as the face of that team. I view Tatis. Yeah. And having Machado, who's kind of the veteran leadership there, which kind of is, I don't view Machado as a veteran leader. He's kind of, he's always rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the Padres are doing, but they signed Pivetta. That deal is very weird. It's a 4-year, $55 million deal with an opt-out after, I think, this year?
2026.
Okay, after next year. But his salary this year is like a couple million.
$2.5 million.
But then the next year, it's like 19?
20.5. So it's like they so it's like $2.5 million times 10. That's your salary guaranteed the next year.
Yeah, like it's just, I was like, what the? I think it's anticipating that, all right, right now we can't go over luxury tax. Next year we won't have Cease or Michael King or one of those, and we'll trade them, and we don't have to have that luxury with it. I just don't get it. Why wouldn't you want to re-sign like Cease or something like that? Yeah. Like, Darvish is good. I know they re-signed Darvish to that, which I thought was a mistake. Like, Darvish is good, but he's aging. Like, yeah, you want to have the veteran leadership, but you've got to make sure that you're young enough to compete. Darvish is going to be getting paid $25 million a year. He's going to be 35, 36 years. He's 36 for sure. I don't know. My dad always says the Padres need to change their name if they're going to do well. My dad doesn't like the Padres name.
Well, I mean, the Red Sox are interested in Cease.
That's what I was telling you. Yeah. Like, so. I think they're going to trade him at the deadline. I think right now it's too, like, yeah. But since we're talking about trades, Nolan Arenado has been probably the biggest trade name since Crochet has been talked about, since that trade. Like, everyone's like, all right, where's Arenado going? The Yankees have been listed. The Red Sox were listed, but they're not going anymore. He denied a trade to Houston, which I believe we talked about in the last podcast or mentioned it. And thank God, I loved Nolan Arenado before, but God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, man. He just was like, yeah, no, I don't want to play for those Houston Astros. So right now it's kind of between the Yankees and Dodgers, I think, for him being a teams he's going to.
Padres potentially as well.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to put him?
I guess he would not be the best fit because Machado's at third base.
Yeah. Like, unless, yeah, no. What?
I don't know. That's just what I'm hearing.
No. That would be terrible.
But, I mean, he reported to camp, so.
Yeah, he said, you know, if I'm here, I'm going to play the best that I can. Yeah. And that's the type of mentality you want from a player. You don't want player like, no, if I'm not traded. Like Crochet last year was like, oh, I'm only going to get traded to a team that wants to sign me an extension. Like, the White Sox were like, dude, don't say that. We just want to trade you. And then every team's like, all right, well, we're not gonna trade for this guy. He, like, he's mentality wise.
Yeah,
but
I mean, at least it's not as awkward as Stroman showing up to Yankees camp as they're trying to.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? Like, they're trying to trade him.
I think that's what they're trying to do, and. Like, he doesn't want to do long relief, which is what they want to kind of put him at. There's no room for him in the rotation.
Yeah.
So it would either be long relief or go somewhere else. He didn't pitch that great last year anyway either. He was 10-9 with a 4 ERA.
Yeah. It just seems like he's getting to that point where, like, he's not the overpowering guy. Like, he's like he could be one of those guys, like he could end up like being Quintana, like that one year with the, like last year with the Mets or a year before, whatever it was, where he had a decent year, like used to be a really good pitcher, but now he's just kind of lost a little bit. I don't know. I don't really care about the Yankee drama that much because Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know we're kind of all over the place right now. Let's, I'll try to transition to like what
we're talking. Tendinitis.
Yeah. He's got both elbows, not just one elbow. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I got both elbows. Both elbows suck. It hurt.
It's a surprise to no one.
Yeah. It sucks.
It does. I mean, he's been hurt ever since he's come here.
Yeah.
He's just had injuries galore.
Yeah.
And he's 35 years old right now.
Yeah.
So he's getting up there in years. He's not getting any, you know, any younger or any faster, probably. Like, try and watch him run in the postseason.
Yeah.
So painful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is a loss for that lineup because he does still bring power.
Yep.
He had 27 home runs still last year, despite playing in 114 games. So he can still.
Yeah, that's probably close to like 40 home runs a year. Yeah.
Even in the DH spot, he could still perform. So it's not good for that lineup to miss him.
No, I completely agree. That lineup definitely needs Stanton. But hopefully I kind of want him to make the Hall of Fame because he was kind of one of those players that you're like, when he was with the Marlins, you stopped to watch him. Like, he was never the best at he was the MVP. He has that. He doesn't have the World Series, but he was one of those players that you stopped to watch because he changed the game in like just raw power. And then Judge came up, so you had both those guys. You're like, holy crap, those guys changed it. Obviously, Judge is the better overall player, just in long term. But Stanton, if he gets to, what's he at? Is he at 400 yet?
He's hovering around there.
Yeah,
I think.
Like I want him to get to 500, but I don't. He's got more of a case than some of the other sluggers do just because he's got the MVP and he was kind of like, it was fun to watch. I don't know.
Well, and he performs in the postseason. Look what he did last year.
That was fun.
He was the ALCS MVP.
Yeah.
He carried that team in the lineup.
Yeah.
And now, it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Now his elbows are feeling it. Yeah. He carried that team. He's just like, I'm just going to carry all my biceps and set my back.
he is an impressive individual.
Yeah.
Like physically.
Yeah. It really is. And he lost a little bit of weight last year when
he did. He did. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees pan out with a lot of their offseason moves. They've made a lot of moves, a lot of good moves, in my opinion.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. They obviously lost Soto, but the depth of this team is much better than last year in so many ways.
Yeah, I agree. They bolstered their, you know, their lineup with Fried, you know. I mean, that was after
rotation.
The Soto. Sorry, the rotation. Yeah. That's what I meant, sorry. They got Goldschmidt, which I think was a safe signing. I think it's just like a one-year deal, $12.5 million.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it fills a gaping hole in that first base slot.
Yeah. He's a Gold Glover first baseman. He's veteran leadership. He hasn't won a World Series. No.
I don't think so, no. Yeah. Johnny Lasagna's back.
Johnny Lasagna.
Hopefully he's healthy this year. And Devin Williams.
Yeah. So they made shave his beard. that rule needs to change. Yeah. We should do a podcast on that. Dumb rules in baseball. Like just the dumbest rules. Even if that's the only one that I can think of for like teams. But we should look up like random rules for teams.
Oh, they exist, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right, let's talk about the Phillies. Because we talked about the Yankees a little bit. Let's talk about the Phillies.
They did something?
Not much. They did not do much. Like, I know they signed Jordan Romano, but the Hoffman signing was a little bit controversial when he went to the Blue Jays because everyone's like, why are they not re-signing Hoffman? And then he failed two physicals with Baltimore and Atlanta, and Atlanta was going to sign him and make him a starter, but he also failed a physical with Baltimore, and they were like, oh, he's got some shoulder issues. Like, we don't want that. And then the Blue Jays were like, well, we'll take him. And he also got drafted by the Blue Jays. So he's going back to the team to get drafted by. So he's probably comfortable up there. Blue Jays are probably like, all right, we can work with this. It was like 3 years, 33 or 3 years, 40 million, which I was like, why can't the Phillies do that? And then the info of how he failed his physical. I'm like, okay, that's fine. We let go of Estevez. That wasn't surprising because I was like, we just need one of them, Hoffman or Estevez, but we didn't get either. But Estevez went for Kansas City for 2 years, like $22 million, I believe. We got Max Kepler. Like, in additions, we got Lizardo, Kepler, and Romano. Do I think those are game changers in what our team was? No. Do I think that it can be just as good as last year with our team? Yes. I think our team, in terms of the regular season, I think we can be just as good. But do I think that we will, in terms of talent, are we the most talented team in the National League? No. Do I think we're right behind the Dodgers? No. I think the Dodgers just have a lot more depth. Then I don't think that it's going to go perfectly for the Dodgers. Like, they're going to run into obstacles. But if the Phillies are going to win, everything's got to go right for them this year, because Acuna and Strider are going to be healthy by May, June, or July for that. So Atlanta's going to get hot. Washington got better with some of their signings. Then some of their young guys are getting stronger. The only team that they really don't have to worry about is the Marlins, because they've signed one player or one or two players, and there was like a total of like $1 million spent. I showed you that meme.
Quantrill, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I showed you that
meme. $3.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I showed you that meme where there was a graph. I'll explain it. There was a graph of like prices in 2005 versus 2025. At a Big Mac, it increased by 131%. Chili's Southwest egg rolls increased almost double. One share of Apple increased a lot, like almost $200-something from like $2. Average MLB ticket increased almost 20. And then they have the Marlins payroll from a 20-year difference, and it's decreased from 2025. Mm-hmm. What the heck are they doing? I mean, I know, ever since that they fired Kim Ng, who was a great, made great moves, and they let go to Schumacher, I know they got the guy from Tampa, but I just don't get what they're doing. I really don't. Unless they're completely rebooting and thinking 5 years down the road. But even
they've done that already.
Yeah.
And like, it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Like, they have Alcantara's coming back, so that's good for them. But their lineup sucks.
Yeah. I think of the lineup that they had in 2005 when they had that similar payroll. They had Delgado, they had Miguel Cabrera, they had Mike Lowell, Lampierre.
Yeah, like the OG, like 2003, like Marlins, yes, that were going to get paid.
Yes,
yeah.
And you had in your rotation Dontrell Willis and AJ Burnett and Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
And that was on a $50 million budget.
Yeah.
And they're on a $50 million budget now, and they have no one.
Well,
they have Quantrill.
There's some borderline Hall of Famers there, like, or like really good Hall of really good players with it. You have Miggy, who's a Hall of Famer, but you have a lot of Hall of very good players on that team, like, and just all-star caliber players on that team. But there's no one from the Marlins that I can name now. I know their line. I think Sanchez is one of their main guys, but
Alcantara.
I mean, in the lineup.
Oh, okay.
I can't name them. They got rid of them all.
Yeah.
Like, it's pathetic. The Marlins are a joke. But, yeah, in terms of the Phillies and the moves that they made, I'm not happy with it overall. Do I think that, you know, we'll be just as good? Like, we'll be a competitive team? Yes. I believe we have all the talent that we need. But the thing is, last year, we were fairly healthy. Like, JT missed a little bit of time. Trey Turner missed a little bit of time. And Harper missed a little bit of time, or like a couple days. But we were really healthy last year. And that doesn't happen very often with an aging core where most of the guys that you are relying on are 31, 32 years old. Mm. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, but don't count on that to last.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't like how we didn't get any younger. We didn't bring in anyone to like, you know, rejuvenate the team and like give them a spark. Like, there was no like big, like, yeah, like even a trade. I expected them to make a trade this offseason, but
nothing. Well, it's the expectation that the Phillies are already good enough to make a run.
Yeah.
So they don't feel like they need to make the super big signings. And in a way, they are.
Yeah.
They can do it. It's just the pieces haven't fallen into place necessarily. They made the World Series a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They had some tough postseason losses the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
But they have the ability to do it. They just haven't.
Yeah.
And that window's going to close pretty quickly.
Yeah. This was, I've talked with this with our friend Taylor. Like, he thinks the window's closing like next year, basically. And I don't think the window's that close. I think it's a 3-4 year window just because some of the guys have enough talent where they're going to go and make trades or sign free agents that we don't have. But I don't know. I'm excited for this team just because I want baseball, but the overall feel of this team is not as excited as it was the previous couple years. That because there weren't any big moves. It was just like, all right, like we're going to go and run it back again. But we made the Lizardo thing, I think, is going to be a good trade. I don't know what the heck we're going with Taiwan Walker. Oh, my gosh. Like, why is that dude still on the team? Dombrowski, just eat the money that you made a bad signing. Trade him away to the White Sox or somewhere else where he can eat up innings, take some of his contract, unless teams literally don't want him. I mean, I know we shopped Bohm. I know we shopped who else did we shop? Like, there was rumors about Castellanos being traded. Like, when we didn't go and get, we didn't do, nothing happened. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that, but in terms of overall offseason, I don't give the Phillies an A+ or even a B. I probably say like C+ with it. Nothing crazy. I liked the Lizardo thing, but other than that, like Jordan Romano didn't excite me. It's kind of a bounce back contract type thing, but I don't like that with aging relievers. I like that with younger relievers with it. Yeah. All right. Some of the players that we were waiting to sign were Pete Alonso, who signed with the Mets.
Yes.
And he's kind of looking back at the deals that he was offered, and he's kind of regretting it, in my opinion. I would. Because mm-hmm. he was offered 5 or 6 years, $150, $160 million in that ballpark, pun intended, and he only got 1 year, $30 million. Or, no, it was 2 years, $56 million? Yeah, it was 2 years, $56 million.
2 years, $54 million.
54. Mm-hmm. And then was an opt-out after this year. He's getting paid 30 this year. So he's basically like, all right, as long as I'm healthy and I put together a normal year that I do, I can retest the market with a team that might need a better first baseman, and I can get probably a 5-year deal somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I think in a way he built himself up to think that he was the Mets equivalent of Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And he thought he had the ability to, you know, negotiate. And then Boris, I think, screwed him over contractually as well.
Yeah. I saw a tweet where the top Boris clients, like Soto, Harper, all the big, like basically like borderline Hall of Famer talent players. Alonso's just a power hitter. He's not good with those contracts. He's not good at negotiating those things because they're like, we don't need this type of player. Like, mm-hmm. he's a good addition. We don't need him. Where you go get Harper or Soto, they're literally game changers, franchise altering moves. Mm-hmm. You go like, say if try to think of a team that like if Cincinnati went and traded for or signed Alonso in the offseason, Cincinnati wouldn't be like, oh yeah, we're gonna make the postseason now because we signed Pete Alonso. No, that's not. And I think Boris, with those clients, he's not as good. Same thing happened last year when the Diamondbacks got who's a lefty pitcher? Jordan Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Like, he fired Boris. He's like, yeah, this sucks. Like, I got screwed over. And then the franchise doesn't even want him anymore.
Nope.
Like, that's a really bad situation. Mm-hmm. And then, Corbin Burnes. I totally forgot about that. Corbin Burnes went to Diamondbacks. Didn't see that happening.
No.
What the heck? What the heck? it worked out for the Diamondbacks because he's from there. Yeah. And it basically took I think he got offered more money from other places, but some of that money is deferred as well.
Yeah.
But the Orioles really screwed the pooch on that one.
Well, what I've been mulling over is what the Orioles are going to do from like moving forward because they don't have Burnes anymore. Santander went to the Blue Jays, which is another signing. They did get Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah.
I guess because once that happened, Santander wasn't staying.
Yeah. And Tyler O'Neill's deal is like an opt out after 1 or 2 years too. So it's not even like, yeah, Tyler O'Neill's the long term thing.
Yeah, he's a replacement. Yeah. I mean, maybe he could be a long term, but Orioles don't really do that unless you're Chris Davis. And yeah, that, I don't think they're. I think they're still too much in PTSD over that contract that they're not doing that. They're like, no,
yeah, no,
we're staying away from those kind of contracts.
Yeah,
they do have Bautista coming back.
Yeah,
this year.
Just about to mention that.
So that's a big boost for their. Bullpen.
Yeah. And they don't have Kimbrel anymore. So that's another big boost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to be the biggest Craig Kimbrel fan, but man, he has fallen off.
And Gary Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's an Oriole. Yeah. Oh.
He's become quite the journeyman since he left the Yankees.
Yeah. I like the Orioles are, they needed to go and like retain someone or go and sign someone, but they didn't really make that bid. Like you thought with the new ownership that they had, like, all right, we're going to go make a signing. I know they're going to have to re-sign Rutschman and Gunner to those big contracts. Well, if Adley doesn't perform, I mean, Adley had a down year.
Yeah.
If he has another down year, like, that'd be really, like, the Orioles fan base would start to be like, oh, no, this is not good.
My MVP choice. Or was it Rutschman?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe just had, you know, I don't know. I think Rutschman's a good player. I think probably just teams are trying to figure him out a little bit. He just makes some adjustments. But you have Gunner. Like, Gunner's a really good player, and they're probably hoping that Jackson Holliday and Jordan Westberg and all those guys all kind of take another step forward. But who knows? That's a big risk when you don't have, like, a veteran. Like Corbin Burnes was a veteran.
They have ancient Charlie Morton there now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about
that.
He's 41 years old, but he's a veteran presence.
That's a bold signing.
Yeah.
That's a bold signing. Like, Charlie Morton's a good, nothing against Charlie Morton. He's a good pitcher, veteran. Like, it's kind of a cool story because he kind of didn't get, like, recognition or really get a lot
for a while.
For a while. And he was a former Philly. Like, we signed him. We're like, oh, Charlie Morton, that's not bad. And then he got hurt right first or second start. We're like, all right. And then after that, he just started pitching really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of signings that were like, what was the riskiest signing in your opinion? Which player for that amount of money? I know my answer is.
Wait, what do you mean by what do you mean by that amount of money?
Like, the riskiest contract a team gave out, because that player is not going to deliver to that amount of money that was given out. It can be a small amount, you know, it could be. You know, is the Walker Buehler signing for the Red Sox, you know, is that a risky? I don't think it's a risk, but in my opinion, do you want me to tell you mine?
Yeah.
Willie Adames for the Giants. 7 years, 180 something million, 182 million, whatever it was. Yeah. Like, that's just for that player going from Miller Park. It's American Family Field now, but it's Miller Park. That caliber player. I mean, you saw what happened when Yelich went to Milwaukee. He just all becoming MVP. Yeah. Now Adames is going to San Francisco, which is a prototypical pitcher's ballpark. And his defense is not, like, amazing. He's a decent shortstop. But he got that money because he can hit 25, 30 home runs. He'll be lucky to get 15 this year. Yeah. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast. But that's my riskiest contract.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was leaning to. I know we're not the biggest fans of Blake Snell on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. He was a back to back Cy Young winner.
Not back to back.
Was he back to back?
No.
Oh, sorry.
He won it with Tampa.
He won it twice. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Forgive the Russ folks.
Give us grace.
But then the Dodgers paying $182 million for Blake Snell, I think, is a bit much. I don't know if it's necessarily risky. But I think that's a lot of money to pay for him.
Especially, I think it ends up, we think we did the math where it's like, yeah, it's almost like $1 million or like $250,000 per inning or something like that.
Because he doesn't pitch.
He only pitches till five innings.
And like, most of that money's guaranteed.
Yeah. That's the same thing with Adames, too. Like, all that's guaranteed. There's no opt-outs with it. Was the Blake Snell stuff, was it any of it deferred?
So there's a club option
at
the end.
Yeah.
For $10 million.
Okay. That's a good deal for, yeah. I mean, speaking of the Dodgers, all right, let's finish our thought here. If I had to choose one, now I forgot about the Snell one a little bit. I think the Snell one, like, he can last a little bit longer,
because he doesn't pitch all that much.
He doesn't pitch all that much, and the Dodgers have depth.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, they're relying on Adames to be, like, almost like a game-changer type player.
I agree.
Which I don't think he is. Like, he's a shortstop. He's a good shortstop. He's a really good, shortstop. He's never been an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I think Adames is a good player. Like, I like watching Adames. He's a fun player. But when I heard that amount of money, I was like, that's a lot of money. Okay. I'm trying to think of other, some notes.
Well, I mean, we could have a whole podcast about the Dodgers and what they've done.
Sasaki. Yeah, Sasaki, yeah. He signs minor league deal because that's technically all he can sign.
Yes.
So he signs, I don't even know how many years it was.
I don't know, but it's a steal.
Here's my biggest thing so far that I've had a problem with Sasaki. I think he's fine. Like, he's got a lot of talent. MLB Network put him at number 100 for best players right now. I'm like, dude has not even pitched in the major leagues. And they did it with Yamamoto, too. And Yamamoto's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this dude has not pitched in the major leagues. He's got the talent to be, but until you pitch in the major leagues, I don't think you can have a player be in the top 100. Because there's probably some prospects right now that are probably better than MLB players.
It was MLB Network's version of an honorable mention, putting him at 100.
Yeah, it's for marketing purposes, but it pissed me off. Yeah. Okay? that got me going.
Yeah.
So they signed him to a minor league deal, and everyone, that I think was the tipping point for everyone. I'm like, all right. Like, everyone just expected him to be going to the Dodgers.
Yeah. And then, they did re-sign Kershaw.
Yeah. Did you see that contract?
Yeah, $7.5 million.
No. So, if he makes, once it says, his 12th start, after each start, he gets an extra $1 million bonus. So, the 12th start, he gets another billion, 13th start, $1 million bonus. Mm-hmm. So, he gets I think it could go up to $16 million in total, which is better than the Scherzer and Verlander deals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't forget, they boosted their rotation as well, with Tanner Scott.
Oh, my God.
With 4 years, $72 million. And then, Kirby Yates as well.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, they got Blake Snell. A lot of people are like, the MLD should impose all these rules. And I'm just like, the Dodgers are just trying to win.
Yeah.
They're just trying to win. I can't blame them for doing that. They won the World Series. They're like, that's great. We know we can do better.
Yeah.
So they're going to go do better. They had the mindset of being a champion, and I respect that.
Yeah. It's not like the Pirates who are probably going to I keep telling you, I'm like, Paul Skenes is a Yankee in 3 years, probably. They're like, oh, yeah, Paul Skenes is doing too good. He's going to want $300-400 million. Let's trade him to the Yankees. that's just what's going to happen. Yeah. That's the mindset of these owners, because they literally – with how MLB revenue works, if you break even, you'll still get – as an owner, you'll still get money from other teams because it's revenue sharing.
Mm.
So if as long as you don't lose any money, you're still running a profit for your business.
Yes.
Which, as a fan, I would absolutely loathe if my owner did that. I'm glad I don't have that owner, because John Middleton has spent money to hopefully win a championship.
Yeah, I was even a little mad when I went to the Pirates game last year or the year before. Like, that team does not deserve not just the fans there, because the fans there were great that I got to talk to, very knowledgeable, passionate about their team. They don't deserve that ballpark either, which is a beautiful, gorgeous ballpark right on the river with the skyline in the background. They don't deserve any of that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me mad.
And look what even happened with the Paul Skenes rookie card thing. Obviously, because whoever won or opened that card, they got season tickets for lifetime or something like that. There was a great offer, but the kid who opened it didn't live in Pittsburgh. He lived in Los Angeles, so he's like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna take that deal. I'm gonna sell the card."
Yeah, so they offered 2 season tickets behind the home plate at PNC Park for 30 years.
That's a great deal.
A softball game at PNC Park for 30 people.
That's really cool.
2 autographed Skenes jerseys, a meet and greet with Skenes, and a one-of-a-kind spring training experience at Pirate City in Bradenton, Florida.
It's a great marketing thing. Yeah. I when I saw it, I'm like, this is a great win for Pittsburgh, for the Pirates. And then it literally blew up in their face. But I think what they're doing is, I think they're still going to offer the kid
a game.
Yeah, a game.
They are.
Yeah, because he turned it down because he's like, all right, I can't do it. I don't live in Pittsburgh. But I think they're going to probably do a meet and greet with Skeens and too, which is probably good. But it couldn't have blown up in their face any worse. It really couldn't have. They literally, whoever had the tops thing, they're like, we cannot move this anywhere outside of Pittsburgh area.
Yes.
Like, you just can't. No. Like, you spend some money to do that. Like, hey, keep this in Pittsburgh area so that way we can have a cool thing happen. But I'm glad it happened to a kid and not an adult either, because then if it happened to, like, a 40-year-old guy, like, that would have just been terrible. Like, it's like, would have been awful if, like, Zach Hample opened it. Like, oh, God.
Well, I'm just imagining, like, Skeens and his girlfriend at the photo shoot with, like, this 40-year-old guy standing in between them with, like, the beer belly and the sunglasses.
Yeah, just, like, giving, like, a thumbs up. Like,
in, like, a sleeveless shirt.
Oh, gosh. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. Yeah. Speaking of Zach Hample, man, we should do a whole podcast on him. And just roast him.
Isn't he in our Hall of Shame?
Did we have him in our Hall of Shame?
Or I don't think we did.
I'm not sure.
He wasn't in mine.
It wasn't in mine. Oh, I got to look at mine. I got to look at my notes. But if you don't
mention him before.
Yeah, if you are newer to the podcast, Zach Hample is hated among a lot, almost all of MLB fandom, because he goes around and steals baseball. Like, oh, you see a home run hit. He'll grab it and, like, jump in front of, like, jump in front of a kid to, like, take the home run ball. And he's just does it. I don't know how he does it. He's really good at it. But he'll strategically be at places to get home run balls with it. But he gets pretty close a lot of the time. But he'll be obnoxious. He's been caught on video, like, yelling at, like, security, and I'm like, oh, I know, I'm allowed down here. He doesn't even wear the team uniform or anything. He wears an MLB logo hat. Like, oh, gosh.
I didn't know this existed.
Yeah. Well, Rob Lowe wore it one time, I remember that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. We could do a whole podcast on Zach Hample. Oh, my gosh. That dude's just pathetic.
And he wears a glove, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing.
Catch home numbers,
I should have told you this. My brother sent me a meme of things that, it was like a speaking to an audience or something like that, and things that you think are like an abomination to this world or something like that. And it was someone was saying the wave should be sent into like the pits of hell or something like that. And I was like, yep, exactly right. Yeah, here it was. What's your most boomer sports take? That's what it was. And it's like a wave, like a crowd of people, and the wave should be punishable by death. And there's a caption saying you are all wrong to it. There's a crowd.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the wave either, but if it's like 15-0 and it's the eighth inning of a game where there's like maybe 500 people left,
yeah,
I can accept that. But I've been to Phillies games mostly. I haven't seen a Yankees game, thank goodness. But Phillies games, it could be a tie game.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tension going on. People are just like doing the wave. I'm like, look at you. Yeah. Do you have any awareness of what's going on in the field?
I think I put a requirement. I think it had to be 10 runs at a certain point before you start doing the wave.
Like a 10-run run differential?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like it's 10-0. Like you're just like, all right, let's do the wave. That's fine with me. But if you're doing the wave and it's a 1-run game in like the 8th or 9th inning, no, absolutely not. I will yell at people. That's pathetic. I mean, I think I still take credit for trying to stop the wave in Washington or whatever it was that we did. Yeah. Or no, was it Philly?
I think it was the Phillies.
Yeah. We were trying to start the wave at one of the games, and I'm like, no.
I forget if it was like our first game back after COVID that we went to.
Yeah.
And it was like, we were sitting behind on plate. It was the Yankees-Phillies game, I think.
Was it? Oh, yeah, but the guy, it was like a couple sections over.
Yeah.
The guy's like, everyone stand up for the wave. And I'm like, no, it's a one or two run game.
And we united.
Yeah.
As a community.
Yeah, like I was telling people around me, like, don't do it. Don't. We focus on the game. And the dude gave me some look. I'm like, I know it's a fun killer type vibe. Come on, dude. Like, watch the game. Yeah. Like, it's just ridiculous.
This is golf, not a rock concert.
I do sound like a whole total boomer right now, but I can't think of anything else in terms of like things we wanted to talk about right now.
Well, what about the black hole of baseball that is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Oh, yeah. They're moving Trout to right field. I forgot about that.
They're moving Trout to right field, and Rendon is relieved that he doesn't have to play baseball for a while.
And you see the stat where Ted Williams played more games during World War II than Anthony Rendon has played for the Angels. Oh, my gosh. Anthony Rendon, if you do not know who Anthony Rendon is, Google him. Mm-hmm. He has become a laughingstock of baseball. Mm-hmm. Not only has he had a bad attitude with playing baseball, like he's been on record saying that I don't have a passion to play baseball, it's just my occupation.
Yes.
You never want to hear that when you're paying the guy $35 million a year.
No.
And he has been so injury prone that it's become a laughingstock for memes and Twitter to be like, oh yeah, it's your casual, like, I think even Babylon Bee put out a thing about it where like, oh, Anthony Rendon thankful that he has, or like he had like a gun to the doctor's head telling him like, no, you tell him that I need surgery.
Well, the funny thing too is like, other than the Ted Williams staff, which is insane that.
Yeah.
And Ted Williams was serving in World War II at the time, and he played more games than Rendon. But also another thing, in 2020, the COVID year, Rendon played 52 games. He played only 47 games in 2022 and 43 games in 2023 in full seasons, full 162 game seasons.
Gosh. It's really sad because I liked Rendon. I hated him when he played for the Washington because he always seemed to be really annoying against the Phillies. But, man.
He was really good.
Yeah. He was good. Yeah. He had some injury issues, but oh, my gosh. Yeah. The Angels are... I mean, I know Ron Washington is the manager, and I love Ron. Like, he's a great baseball guy, but that team, they really need a revamp.
I think they need to let Trout go.
Yeah,
I think they need to really get the reboot started. They have to let him go.
Yeah,
because it's still the lingering aspect of like another era. You gotta wipe the slate clean, I think. It seems like there's maybe starting to move in that direction with moving him to right field to, you know.
But they're trying to preserve him.
Well, to preserve him, like put him, like wrap him up in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
To make sure he doesn't get hurt anymore. He does seem to have a little bit extra motivation this year because he saw he was like, what, the 40th?
Yeah.
On the MLB 100? He's like, you know, this will give him a better chance to play this year.
What I would do for like a 30-50-50 season from Mike Trout. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. That'd be so good for baseball. It would be so good because everyone would be like talking about, oh, Mike Trout's back. Then be like, oh, sweet, I'm going to go see Mike Trout play. Because he was the best player for what, 6-7 years straight?
At least.
And everyone was talking about
him. He was the player of the 2010s.
Yeah,
best player.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, he's going to make the Hall of Fame if he retired today. But not everyone's like, Mike Trout's kind of lost it. Like, oh, yeah, like Mike Trout's still a good player, but he's always injured type thing. Having Mike Trout come back and be like MVP type Mike Trout where, you know, he bats 285, 290, OPS of close to 1,000, 35, 40 home runs. Oh, that'd be so good for baseball.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's just sad to see his career wasted away in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And to have injuries overtake him in this point of his career.
Yeah. I think he'll be a Philly by the trade deadline.
That was another meme I was thinking about too, because he's a big Eagles fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And how he's like, he's almost like their good luck charm.
Yeah.
How he's appeared at all these Eagles playoff games, but he's only played in 4 postseason games. Yes. I think.
3 or 4. Yeah. It was the one series, right? Or did he have a wild card game?
There was a wild card game. Or no. Yeah. No, he didn't have a wild card game. It was just that series.
Yeah. It was that series against Kansas City. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's pathetic. I feel someone, I think MLB Network was doing a comparison. Who would you rather, career would you rather have, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper? Because Trout's obviously had a little bit better stats. Harper's got a little more postseason success. Both of them have MVPs. Harper's got 2, Trout's got 3. Which career would you rather have? And I don't know. Because, I mean, Harper's probably going to make the Hall of Fame too. Like, if his career ended today, he'd be borderline. But he's got to accumulate a couple more stats. Trout's in right now. Mm-hmm. But he's literally not been in the postseason. They talk about, I don't know. I don't know who I'd rather have career-wise.
And I know it's such a small sample size, but he was not good in that one series.
No. Yeah. But
it's, again, it's a small, you don't really know unless you get to play over and over again, which he hasn't had the chance to.
Yeah. Like, I think Harper's got better numbers as a Philly postseason than they did with the Nationals. Yeah. So it's just how it is sometimes.
That's life.
That's life. That's life. Yeah. I have nothing else off the top of my head.
No, neither did I.
I mean, I don't have much going on up there, but like off the top of my head, I got nothing.
No, I think we sped run through a piece of what MLB has been like in the off season. When we did this podcast a couple months ago,
yeah,
it was December 16th, so it's been exactly 2 months, just about. I wanted the off season elongated. I was just like, I kind of don't want the baseball season back yet. It was a bitter way to end the season, you know.
Yeah.
Soto signed with the Mets. I'm just like, I could deal with not having baseball for a while.
Yeah.
But now that I'm refreshed, it's been a couple months, spring training's back, I'm like, okay, now I'm ready. And I'm glad to be talking in the podcast again.
There's hope. Yeah. You and I both did not have great off seasons for either of our teams in terms of like Soto signed with the Mets.
The Yankees had a good offseason.
Yeah. Maybe I should rephrase that. Like, you had a bad offseason because you lost the World Series.
Yes.
Yeah. I lost in the playoffs, but we didn't do anything in the offseason. So like, there really wasn't like, there wasn't a ton of like good feeling about the offseason for both of our teams with it. Like, you made some moves, but you still had the, like, we lost the World Series with it. And I'm sorry for bringing that up.
No, you're fine. I just get to watch it on MLB Network every other hour.
Oh my gosh, they have been running the Dodgers winning that thing a lot.
Oh yeah, I still have Freddie Freeman I'm sorry, Cortez that at bat still burned into my memory, and now I just get to watch it now.
Yeah,
because now we have MLB Network back. We didn't have it for a while, and I love watching it. But also, it's like, I got to turn it off sometimes because, like, I can't watch the highlights anymore.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman is not hated by a lot of people. He is a very well-liked player.
I don't hate Freddie Freeman.
Do you think the Yankee fan base as a whole has, like, not hate, but, like, there's definitely some, like, more ill towards Freddie Freeman?
I guess it's going to be the same way they feel about, say, like, Bill Mazeroski.
Yeah.
Who hit that home run in the World Series against the Pirates. There's, like, an animosity because, like, oh, great, here's the guy who hit the home run off us in the World Series. But hatred as a person, I can't say that.
Yeah, because I see Freeman when he retires. Like, he's going to say, oh, I got one more year. He's going to go on that, like, farewell tour. Actually, I don't know if he would be that type of player. I think he would be like, all right, yeah, I'm retiring. I want to kind of go into the sunset. Don't go on that tour. But if he goes on that tour, I feel like he's going to get those standing ovations at places, even Philly. Like, I'll stand for Freddie. But I was like, I wonder if the Yankees would do that, especially if he was with the Dodgers still with it. Because in the Dodgers uniform, like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just curious if that were to happen.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say right now.
It's hard to say. But yeah. All right, you want to end it there?
Yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, we don't have a hot take. I thought of one. I already said it, but I'll just say it. I'll say it again. I think my hot take is that Mike Trout will be a Philly at the trade deadline before the season ends. I'll say that before the season ends.
Before the season ends.
That's
not just even like next year or the year after, right? This season.
Correct. Before the season ends, he will be a Philly.
Who would they trade?
That's a great question. I don't have to answer that because it's not part of the hot take. I'd have to go through our prospects and some of their, because I know we'd have to balance out the money a little bit. Like, oh man, if they would take Taijuan Walker, oh man.
That seems to be an uneven trade.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Straight up, Taijuan Walker for Mike Trout. Get vetoed in every fantasy league, everything. I think MLB owners would be like, yeah, no, you can't do that. Like, can you imagine, like, Steve Cohen would be like, yeah, no, you can't do that. Yes. You can't make that trade. Angels, like, can't do that.
Jeez.
Yeah. All right. Let's end it there. Thank you so much for listening. We will definitely be back sooner rather than later.
Yes.
We have a lot of ideas that we want to get out and have you guys listen. So we apologize for the delay, but we are back and it is spring training and baseball season is upon us. So thank you again for listening and we will catch you next time.
Let's go.